This is the last sort of this content-wise seminar of the learning profiling, and we have a talk which is interesting in many respects. We know that our rector is talking right there close to us on internationalization and how international students and families can come to Finland and also learn Finnish, and having this kind of a two-language learning push or a challenge. And Joe Barth, Nick Venner, is giving us a taste of like how can we understand the processes of learning, especially Finnish vocabulary learning, what kind of cognitive and motivational processes are involved when you are learning a different language of your own mother tongue. And especially interesting is that, as is typical of LearnDigi, Robert is using with the team multimodal measures, for instance, EDA, and you will be talking more about ectodermal activity, and we'll be interested to hear how we can learn about language learning using these kind of measures that give us more information, also physiological responses, how you feel when you are learning something that might be challenging or might be also something you make advances. So without further ado, I will welcome Joe Barth to the stage.
Thank you very much, and thank you everybody for being here for my presentation. As already introduced, my name is Jobert Ngwenya. I'm a doctoral researcher. I've been at the university for the past 7 months. I started in November. My background is in education, I would say. I have a degree in history, so I was a high school history teacher at some point. Then I transitioned into research through what I would call the popular Finnish education miracle. It really caught my eye because back home in Zimbabwe, education has been transitioning over the years, I would say. And as an educator who did the pedagogical studies when I was already teaching, I found out that, well, there were some boring stuff within the teaching fraternity, but later on, I did my own research about how I could impact my students in a better way. So I transitioned from being a classroom teacher into an out-of-the-classroom teacher for that reason. And then, of course, in my personal research, I bumped onto the miracle of the Finnish education system, and that somehow got me here. I have a master's in learning education and technology from the University of Oulu, which is the one that then helped me to transition into the current doctoral studies, which to me was a motivation from the basis of understanding learning as a process, maybe not necessarily as an event, contrary to maybe how I was taught. So I would say I'm quite in a very good space. The whole process of understanding learning as we know it, and it was quite a motivation for me. So my talk for today focuses on cognitive and motivational processes in the learning of Finnish as an additional language, and of course for internationals in Finland, one challenge we have is to integrate into the community, and integration, the language really is the core of integration as we know it. So my presentation basically, I would outline the vocabulary learning as we know it, the key theoretical frameworks behind the research, and then the research design and methodology, the overview of the ongoing experiments, and then, of course, what we're expecting out of this. As a teacher that I am, I'll ask you questions along the way, so be prepared. So basically, I would say from the literature that we have, additional language learning focuses more on English, English as a second language, English as a foreign language. I think there's also more literature on Spanish. Spanish would be the second. Then we have French, Germany along the way. And in more recent years, Chinese is also coming up as a second language, as a foreign language, and as an additional language. So there isn't much research maybe in the Finnish, learning of Finnish for adults, as it were. And my research focuses on two the circumstances around learning of Finnish. And the first one basically focuses on the cognitive perspective, how we can efficiently process and store new words, vocabulary in this case, and of course the motivation, as the Finnish language is well known for being one of the hardest languages to learn. So vocabulary acquisition, of course, it's very important in that process because it's sort of the building block towards understanding language. And because of the easiness or the hardness of the vocabulary, it somehow has an effect on one's motivation and how persistent they will be in learning. And for that reason, from an education perspective, from a learning perspective, there should be some strategies employed to that effect. Those that will motivate the learner as much as they will help the learner retain interest in the study. So the overall goal of learning in this instance is to have a strong memory in whatever you would have acquired. In other words, our aim is that I don't just learn and forget, but I learn and retain the information. And the motivation perspective, it's really about being able to say, fine, this was challenging, but I managed to get this. I'm ready to move on to the next stage. Be that as it may, maybe more on the vocabulary learning, I would say from research, there is what is known as intentional or explicit vocabulary learning, and there is also what is known as incidental vocabulary learning. So in the intentional side, it happens when you intentionally sit down and say, today I want to learn so much number of Finnish words. Then in the incidental, basically it happens, maybe you are listening to a YouTube video, then an advert pops up in Finnish. There are these adverts that always come over and over again. And from that process, at least from my experience, I've learned words from that experience. It's not really intentional, words that we learn on the street from the billboards and so on and so forth. So it's really not on the intentional side. So it's incidental in the sense that you pick up words by reading or listening without a specific intention for that effect. Then what's interesting is that studies show that explicit learning, that is the intentional learning as it were, lead to better retention as compared to the incidental. Though there are some scholars who are of the idea that doing both has better results rather than focusing on one. So our the motivation behind this research basically is that we have a combination of both, but our focus is on the explicit vocabulary learning. And on the explicit vocabulary learning, as I've already mentioned, there is the use of word lists, there is the use of flashcards, there is the use of word strategy, there is also the use of word cards. But my study focuses on the use of word lists. And word lists, we can just define them as a list of words with their first language translation. So in this case, you have a list of Finnish words with their English language translation. Of course, for most internationals, English is not necessarily the first language, but at least it's the international language that we are all using. So this research is based on the skills acquisition theory in second language learning. So what this theory says is that learning vocabulary explicitly is sort of a gateway to understanding a language better. So if I intentionally learn a word, I'm sort of building a wall, a foundation from which I'll build the language from there. And it's more relevant for adult learners, maybe not necessarily for young learners. So word lists are therefore an entry point that serve as a crucial foundation where from a skills acquisition theory, they call it the declarative knowledge. So word lists are sort of the declarative knowledge that helps us become fluent over time. So you initially build this foundation, which then leads to fluency and automatic vocabulary use, in this case, within the Finnish context. And word lists, they are not anything new, as it were. For example, I have here a screenshot from the Sanakirja, which is the Finnish online library. And in this case, as you can see, there are word lists with different categories. There's one that focuses, word list that focuses on time, some on grammar, some on home, food, school, subjects, and a lot of other categories. So to say, it could be what you find in a supermarket and all these things. So they are categorized differently for the reasons of better acquisition. So it could, they're very important. It could be helping in mastering maybe the supermarket language that someone has to acquire in the when they enter the Finnish society. It could be for a specific field. It could be within the science field. There are word lists that are specific for that. And of course, there are word lists that are general. There are word lists that focuses maybe on schools and so on and so forth. So that's how our word lists are categorized. And this is a very good example in the Finnish online, this Sanakirja dictionary. So as much as a lot has been studied about vocabulary learning as we know it, word lists specifically, there isn't much research that focuses on how these word lists are sequenced. So they're categorized, like I've already mentioned, but there hasn't been much study in relation to how they are sequenced, and of course how that relates to the learning process as we know it. So from that perspective, our research focuses mostly on how these word lists can be sequenced or how they can be structured in such a way that they can lead to better learning outcomes. And of course, most of the studies have depended more on the subjective data, self-reports, in some instances, observations, and so on and so forth. And of course, like I've already mentioned, most of the literature when it comes to additional language learning focuses more on English as an additional language, foreign language, or second language. And it also there's more research on learning Spanish, French, Germany, and Chinese. So our research focus, therefore, is to investigate how effective certain sequencing of word lists affect our cognitive and motivational processes. And of course, we are doing this from a multimodal perspective using self-reports and physiological responses. And the theoretical framework is based on this, the cognitive load. I'll explain this further. But basically, this is the interplay between cognitive load, sympathetic arousal, self-efficacy, and of course, the performance. So my research really explores how different word strategies impact the dynamic trio of the cognitive load, self-efficacy, and physiological arousal, and of course, how that leads to one, learning and recalling, these Finnish words. And the expectation is that the word list strategies that will be more successful or that will lead to better learning outcomes, they sort of optimize cognitive load, sympathetic arousal, and self-efficacy for better learning outcomes. I'll explain further maybe on the cognitive load. So basically, this is the mental effort that is required for someone to accomplish a mental task. So for one to accomplish a mental task, there's some cognitive load they have to employ. And from studies, what we know is that when there's, in some instances, when there's little effort that's put, there's boredom that comes into play. And on the other end, if there's much weight onto the mental effort, the downside is that there's frustration. Frustration kicks in. So there's the element of boredom as a result of the task being easy, and there's the element of frustration when the task is too difficult. So we aim to sort of balance this by finding a sweet spot between the easiness and the hardness. So to say. So in other words, within the sequencing, we are looking forward to find a way of balancing, coming up with what is known as the desirable difficulty that will motivate the learner to learn without necessarily frustrating them, as it were. So be that as it may, there are three types of cognitive load. There is the intrinsic, which is the inherent in any task difficulty. In this case, Finnish as an additional language, and the external, which is mostly because of the poor design that maybe the learning designer did. Could be a poor learning design that leads to this cognitive load. And of course, the germane, which is the effort that someone put themselves. So our idea is that we minimize the intrinsic sides, rather the extraneous, because we are coming from the learning design side. So the idea is that we minimize the external cognitive load, and then we promote the germane load, where the learner dedicates their learning, finding that sweet spot between boredom and frustration. So from that perspective, the idea is to find out the optimal cognitive load that leads to better learning outcomes, or the desirable difficulty that balances frustration from boredom. And then the other construct is that of self-efficacy, which is basically one's belief in their ability to succeed in a situation. So the aim is to encourage self-efficacy, as it were, in the learning of Finnish. Because as we know, the belief directly influences our motivation towards learning. If you find the task difficult, chances are you are going to give up. But if there is success in what you are doing, there is this reinforcement which keeps you motivated to go on, as failure diminishes self-efficacy, while least success boosts confidence and the willingness to go on. And from the physiological perspective, our focus is on electrodermal activity, EDA, basically, which is explained this way. I'll start from the sympathetic arousal system, which I would say is our body's automatic response to situations, challenging situations. The flight or fight physiological response, which I understand comes from our caveman life, where when danger came in, there was a way that you're supposed to respond, either by fighting or by running away. So From the EDA perspective, the focus really is the skin electrical changes that happen as this flight or fight response kicks in. So we naturally then excrete sweat as a way of, like in the caveman's days, either to be able to climb a tree, because with the sweat you are better able to have a strong grip. So we still, if this is the evolutionary explanation to it, we still have that within us, that when we are facing challenging or exciting situations, sweat then kicks in, and this increases the skin conductivity as we know it. So ETA basically measures these tiny electrical changes on the surface of our skin, which is related to the sweat gland activity. And these skin conductivity changes are a direct indicator of that flight or fight incident as we know it. And it sort of gives us an objective window into our cognitive and emotional states. And this really has been researched for more than 100 years, and it's quite an interesting take to how we understand our cognitive processes. So in our case, when we look at EDA data, we focus on two main features, which is the skin conductancy level, SCL, and then the skin conductancy response. And then maybe let me further explain this. The conductance level is the basic, I would say, the baseline measure of arousal, while the conductance response focuses more on the on how we respond to certain events. Maybe I'll let me share this. Yes, I think that will capture the response side of skin conductancy as we know it. So from a learning perspective, the analysis of these features, actually the frequency, the amplitude, the latency of these responses help us understand better understand the learner arousal, the learner attention, and the cognitive effort they are putting in what they are doing in real time. So this is obviously crucial in understanding the impact of how different word lists affect the learning process. And then more on that, as I've already explained how these features give us the objective, the real-time insights into learner engagement, attention, and cognitive load. There's also the element of arousal leading to better learning outcomes up to a certain point. So as you can see on the graph, there's optimal performance happening. And then beyond that, frustration really kicks in. And of course, this is also supported within the learning of vocabulary, that because during the arousal process, there's the release of hormones, which helps us, which helps in the memory recall. Maybe a very good example is that, like I mentioned in the Zimbabwean education system in transition, up to a couple of years ago, corporal punishment was allowable in schools. And for that reason, if I were to reflect back, I would say one of the moments that I still remember interacting with my teachers were associated with when they were angry at us, and we are really at that flight or fright instant because they want to punish you and stuff like that. So those are sort of the general incidents that you remember, you attach a certain teacher with. And of course, there's this African proverb that says that the axe for cutting down trees forgets, but the tree doesn't. So the tree, because when the axe was coming to cut it, there was this arousal that took place. It really never forgets. From the learning perspective, again, there's this memory encoding that happens during that arousal process. But of course, it gets to a certain point where frustration really kicks in. And this is explained by the inverted U curve, also known as the Yerkes-Dodson law, which links arousal to performance, as we are seeing it on the graph. But of course, this has been explained up to midway point. We really need to understand more about this Yerkes-Dodson law further. And we are hoping that this study will help us understand it better, at least from the perspective of learning vocabulary in the Finnish language. And of course, one key element of this study is the multimodality of it, in the sense that we are using self-reports. I will explain further, and then log data from the online system that we're using, and of course, performance measures from the general outcomes. And key to that, we have sympathetic arousal as indexed by EDA. And of course, this sort of gives us a richer perspective of how our strategies impact the learning process. And our research questions basically want to identify what are the most effective vocabulary learning strategies, in this case, how this sequencing affects the learning process as we know it. And the second one speaks to how these different vocabulary learning strategies specifically have an impact on self-efficacy, cognitive load, and sympathetic arousal. And lastly, it's really on the methodological side about how EDA data itself, the features of EDA as we know them, relate to self-efficacy, cognitive load, and the learning of Finnish as an additional language for adults. And the general hypothesis is that the strategies that stimulate self-efficacy, that sort of motivates the learning, yet balancing the cognitive load, the sweet spot that I mentioned, and leading, of course, to optimal arousal, will lead to better learning outcomes. And 4 studies are planned for this, and the study 1 to study 4. The first study focuses on word difficulty, easy words, and easy words in this case, we are referring to loan words from English language, and then difficult words, these are unfamiliar words within the Finnish corpora, as example given there, salati from salad, and ikuna window, which is not related to the English language. And then the second study focuses on orthographically similar words. In this case, there is silly for hedgehog and silly for herring. Pronunciation is getting on me there. But these are orthographically similar words. You can't really tell the difference unless you really zero in. And of course, the last 2 studies focus on antonyms, the first study focusing on the opposites that are not related, at least orthographically, while the 4th study focuses on opposites with this prefix. As you can see, mukava for pleasant and epa mukava for unpleasant. Maybe just to show you, this is, I hope it's, yes, it's coming out clear. This is study 1. And study 1, there's 3 strategies. The first strategy consists of blocked easy words and then a block of difficult words. That's the first strategy. The second one, randomly arrange. Trust me, I did randomize, but they came out that way. So it's very random as it is. And then, of course, the last strategy, alternating easy, difficult, and so on and so forth. And then, of course, quick question, like I said, I'll ask a few questions. Which strategy of the three do you think would lead to better learning outcomes? From the perspective of cognitive load, self-efficacy, and arousal? Which one? You think that blocked will lead to better? You okay? Why so? Okay, that's an interesting take. Any other take? Okay, so from our perspective, our hypothesis at least is that alternating will balance the cognitive load, and then it will lead to better learning outcomes. But anyway, we'll wait for the data to speak to us. So we'll give a feedback on that one. And then the next study focus on the orthographically similar words, slightly different from the first study, but there's also the blocked. As you can see, the blocked in this case, you have these, like 1 to 4 is the first block, and then 5 to 8 is the second block. But as you can see, the distance between 1 and 5 is the same as the distance between 4 and 8. This is how these words are blocked. And then the second strategy, these are paired. They're appearing at the same time. Well, let me explain the block strategy. So each word is appearing one after the other. So one appears with the translation. The second one appears with the translation, and the third one appears with the translation, and so on and so forth. Then for the paired, they appear at the same time. As you can see, it's 1-1. So they appear with their English translations. The second pair appear with their translation, and so on and so forth. And then, of course, the third strategy, they're alternating. One pops up first, then you learn it, then the second one appears, the related one appears, and then it happens up to the end. And another quick question, which one would make more sense here? Oh, which one do we hypothesize may lead to better learning outcomes?
There's still a lot of distance.
Yeah.
At least to my eyes.
Yeah.
But if I am seeing those two words together, I will probably be able to better register the difference in the orthography and the meaning because those two words are together, like one after the other.
Okay, so. Okay, so blocked may not really be the best, and you're saying alternating may better give you better learning outcome. Well, on this one, our hypothesis is that the paired ones, because they're appearing at the same time, so you really have the time to zero into word one and word two at the same time and identify the differences as it were. But anyway, let's wait for the data to speak for itself. And then, of course, the third experiment, it's really similar to the second one. As you can see, it's really the same structuring for the third experiment. And the fourth experiment is the same, only that the words are still antonyms, but you have these antonyms with the epa prefixes, as it were. And then I'll skip on to our research design. Basically, we are using the within subject experimental design, and our participants per study, we are hoping to get 100 participants per study or more. And of course, we are collecting data using EDA. We are using the EDAMOVE 4 sensors. And then the pass scale, I'll show this later. Then the customized general self-efficacy scale. And then our learning material, we have 120 Finnish words. And we are using Gorilla Experiment Builder as our learning platform. Let me just maybe show this. So this is the Pascal. This is the screenshot from the Gorilla Experiment Builder. And the Pascal there, it's a 9-point Likert, with 1 being very, very low mental effort and 9 very, very high mental effort. So participants are asked to rate themselves, their mental effort into learning a word, and later on into recalling the word. And then we also have this customized self-efficacy rating scale. And basically, it has 5 questions where you rate yourself on your confidence in learning the meaning of the word, confidence in remembering, confidence in correctly writing, confidence in even in a challenging situation, and confidence in a demanding situation from its 11-point Likert scale. And then these are the instruments we are using. As I've already mentioned, we have this sensor, the EDAMOVE sensor. I'm wearing one right here with me. And then that's the sensor part. And then these are the electrodes. They are measuring my arousal as I'm speaking right now. And then, of course, this is an example of the sample signal from the ongoing data collection we are doing. And I would say this was maybe a 45-minute range of this signal. And we are using material from different online corpora of the Finnish. Okay. I'm supposed to be here. Yes. So this is how we got to the words that we have. We collected different online words from online corpora, and we randomly selected 120 of those for different categories, and we use the Excel run function to select these words. And of course, we removed some because of being maybe too technical. For example, science related words, we sort of removed them because they're not your everyday words. We also removed some because of the issue of being maybe not very appropriate. So we then randomly selected these 120, 30 words per experiment. And we are using Gorilla, as I've already mentioned. And this is the screenshot on Gorilla. And this is the procedure for our experiment. So the participants, they come in, the experiment starts, they are given instructions on how to put on the sensors and so on and so forth. Then we collect a 2-minute baseline for EDA, and then they give us their data that's relevant to the study, and then first self-efficacy measure. And then at that point, they move on to the main experiment where they randomly go into different strategies. So these strategies are really random. You have 10 participants in the room, but you have maybe two participants going to strategy one, the other one going the other strategy, and so on and so forth. And I know I tried to be as random as possible, but this is not the actual picture. So you have those in strategy one. They may not necessarily go to strategy C, as it were, but maybe to B, and so on and so forth. So it's really, really random. And the other thing is that the words themselves are randomized. So one participant may find the word Tuoli on strategy one, but the other one may find the same word on a different strategy altogether. So they are literally randomized. And of course, from strategy X to strategy Y to strategy Z, as it were. And as this is happening, cognitive load per word, and then there's also this self-efficacy after each strategy learning and recall phase. And after that, there's a general recall of all the 30 words per strategy, self-efficacy again, then the 2 minutes baseline and end of the experiment. Well, I would have wanted to show you this platform, but basically, because of our time, I'll skip this one. I'll skip the analysis side. And then, of course, on the expected outcomes, of course, we expect that the strategies that optimize cognitive load will lead to better learning outcomes. And then those that promote self-efficacy, of course, and balancing physiological arousal will lead to better learning outcomes. And implications of the study, of course, this has an effect on teachers. It has an effect on learners. It also has an effect on learning designers. Those who design learning, the face-to-face learning, and of course, those who are into computer-assisted language learning, especially. So we are hoping that out of these results, this will inform how learning is designed for vocabulary. And of course, from a methodological perspective, the better understanding of EDA features and how they relate to these different learning contracts. Right now, we are collecting data, as I've already mentioned, and big up to Lina there. She's been a very important part of this process. At some point, we left this place at around 10 p.m., I think. Yeah, she's been a very important part. And of course, shout out to our supervisor. Hector is not here. He's actually preparing to engage on a session right now. So big up to him too. And of course, we are still looking for more and more participants. For those who haven't already done so, this is your chance to be part of the fun and part of the future. Yes, already there's a lot of material going out. We are hoping that we'll get more participants. And for those who may not participate because they don't want to learn Finnish, like my boss is here, please spread the word whichever way you may. And of course, references to the study if you're interested. And lastly, for anything else, you may get in touch with us. Thank you very much. I'll go back to you. Yes, thank you. Thank you for your attention. I will entertain feedback. Thank you.
Very interesting. I'm just reading one question that was posted to Teams, by Tommy Karkkainen, because I think he had some computer problems, but just in case, where does the theoretical framework come from? Was it given, or did you compose it yourself? In any case, why exactly those elements? No, I don't remember. Maybe you can...
This should be the...
It's maybe that picture
with Ford.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Okay, so we developed this... okay, did I skip it? That's a very interesting question. We developed this framework, and as I've mentioned, I think as the last methodological implication, we really want to then understand how these contracts relate to EDA, how self-efficacy cognitive load relates to EDA. Did that slide just disappear on me? Yes, that one. Yes. So thank you for the question. But like I've already mentioned, from the methodological side, the idea is to then understand how this the sympathetic arousal relates to self-efficacy, cognitive load, and of course performance, and in this case, vocabulary learning.
Other and a bit more recent possibilities from, and okay, he has suggested a reference of their own.
But okay.
First aid self-efficacy, a scale adaptation and psychometric properties.
Okay, thank you.
Can take a look at from the team.
Sure. Yeah. Thank you very much for that one. Thank you for that one. Yes.
And then I wanted to ask you about the word strategy. So did the strategy mean that were the conditions, the different kinds of ways of how you sort of organize the stimuli, or was there something measured also, like how did the learner decide to go on?
So it's really random. So they log in, and then, for example, strategy one is the one that the system takes them to.
So they can choose, but
yes. It's automatically allocated. So you may have three participants, one doing strategy A, the other one B, the other one C. And then when they are done with that, another randomization takes place. And when they are done with that, another randomization. So at no point, technically speaking, would you have three participants doing the same strategy or at the same word. Yeah, it's really random. Yes.
Yeah, I was thinking about your current ongoing data collection, and as you mentioned, you have self-reports as one part. So by that, you refer to the self-efficacy and cognitive load.
Yes.
Yeah. So you don't have any like background questionnaire or anything that, or any way to grasp the prior knowledge of the participants in his language, because you are gathering quite a, I mean, these 100 participants, they might go from many directions.
Yeah.
Do you have any idea about their? Or was it actually criteria that they need to have certain level of?
Up to B1.
Ah, yeah.
But our biodata questionnaire captures that. For example, their native language or languages, how long they've been in Finland, how long they've been studying Finnish, their own rating using the European standards, and then of course other languages they speak besides Finnish. Yes, so we're trying to gather as much. Yes, yes. Yes.
And in the word lists, they are more or less like this kind of everyday words, not like, as you said, that you excluded some more scientific, so that, for example, the disciplinary background couldn't have impact.
Yes. Yes. So we tried as much as possible not to use the basic words that we all learned at the basic Finnish course, but also avoided the very technical ones that, and also those that are not your everyday words. So we tried to really, yes. And of course, we got our help from my other course supervisors, from the psychology department, Anu and Virupilisa. They were helpful in that, especially in the kicking out those that they did, these ones are archaic, these ones are maybe not very appropriate. Yes. Sure. Okay. Well, for starters, I would say it's as you can see right now, I'm doing stuff that I'm doing, and I'm not being disturbed at all. So it's really something that you can measure while you are doing whatever other stuff you're doing. That's number one. And number two, of course, it's very objective. It's a very objective measure of the learning process.
Yeah, because I saw that you are collecting 100 participants. 100
yes.
Participants is not an easy job
here. Yeah.
Because you have a very small town, and then you have a quite restricted criteria to select the participants. For example, we can't find that each participant have same level of Finnish. There are different style of learning. For example, some people go to the class and learn Finnish. Some people, they don't even need to go to the class.
Yeah.
Listening and then exposure to the words. They keep learning more vocabulary. Maybe it comes spontaneously. They know some words. So in that case, so you need to know what you are measuring, because that's why very curious. And also, I'm not that expert in EDA. I have tried sometimes. So when you measure this EDA, you capture this sympathetic arousal. But it is not always you can see that. So that's why I'm curious. Are you just sticking with one EDA, or are you planning to measure some more physiological data like EEG or something else? I think in the psychology department, many people have studied these kind of like the word sympathetic. They have done very good studies.
Yeah.
So, and they use this eye tracking also, how they are changing. That's mostly with Finnish students, but for with the foreigners, it's quite challenging also. Yeah. So maybe if there's in a very early phase, think about it.
Sure. And then of course, like you are mentioning, getting the participants is quite a challenge, but our hope is that with more participants, we can overcome some of these limitations. That's the aim. And of course, on the bio information, we try to capture one's own perception of their knowledge of Finnish. Because like you are saying, some learn at the bar, some at the supermarket, not necessarily into the classroom. So we also want to, from their own reports, how they will rate themselves on the knowledge of Finnish. So from that perspective, we can then maybe try to understand that they might not have any Finnish course they took, but they're rating themselves at a certain level. But thank you very much for that. And of course, resources permitting, we are open to more of these physiological data points that can be used. Sure. I think generally from the studies that are there currently, I would say there is this element of the element of boredom that comes in with easier tasks versus frustration that comes with difficult tasks. So from that perspective, I would say performance in the Finnish language learning will diminish where arousal is very high. So that's what we're expecting. This is what the studies are saying at the moment. But we also want to validate this with the actual performance itself, plus your self reports from cognitive load. Okay, thank you very much.